I want us to open our Bibles this morning in the book of Genesis and the chapter 45. That's the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis, and we commence reading at the verse number 8, Genesis chapter 45, and commencing to read at the verse number 8. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible word together, please. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith the son, or thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lead your beasts, and go, and get you unto the land of Canaan, and take your father and your household, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and put your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away. And they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt, and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning that we come into thy holy presence to seek thy face, that we ask of thee that thou will help us to minister thy word. We pray that thou wilt give us liberty. That is the liberty of the Holy Ghost. And as we meditate upon thy word, O God, help us to rightly divide it. Help us, our God, to challenge thy people, and help us, Lord, to encourage them. And then, Lord, we pray for those that are wanderers. We pray that thou wilt bring them back. And for those that are not saved, that thou wilt save them. O God, we realize how quickly the time is passing. We come, Lord, tomorrow to the 1st of September, O God, how quickly this year's going. And yet precious souls are nearer eternity than ever they've been before. And yet many sinners haven't a thought about the seriousness of their situation. O God, before this week that we're entering, Lord, before it closes, that precious souls in this service could be out in eternity. O my God, save them, I pray. And bring them unto thyself, we pray in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake, amen. As we concluded our study in the life of Joseph last Lord's Day morning,
we concluded that indeed Joseph had been given an original or an initial task to perform by his father, recorded in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis, in the verse number 14. He says, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again." And so, having been given that initial task, we find that he was not able to fulfill that commission because of what happened to him and what his brothers did unto him. The father said, not only go and find out the well for your brethren, but he says, bring me word again. But Joseph has not been able to come home. He's not been able to fulfill his father's commission because his brothers sold him down into Egypt. But friend, thank God, even though over 20 years have passed, we thank God that Joseph is now fulfilling that commission. He's seeing to the welfare of his brethren. And you know, my friends, sometimes we have a wilderness experience. Sometimes whenever God gives us a command and a commission to do, and sometimes we're just filled with excitement. We want to do it right now. Sometimes there's intervening circumstances that come in that are not of our making, but in the sovereign purpose of God, our lives are interrupted. But thank God the Lord had a plan every part of the journey. Thank God there was not a mistake in any of this, because Joseph was able to say, verse number 8, in chapter 45, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." And so we find that indeed he sees the overruling providence of God. And now, 20 years later, Joseph returns to the responsibilities that his father had given him so those years before. And of course, Joseph realizes that there is still some 5 years of famine, and therefore he recognizes the urgency of the task which he is now going to give to his brothers. In verse number 9, he says, "Haste ye and go up to my father." And so we see indeed the urgency of this. And I want us to notice some things this morning. First of all, I want you to notice his command. He says, "Haste ye and go to my father and say unto him." Now, as soon as Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, you know something wonderful happens. He enlists his brethren into his service. These men that had sought to destroy him, they had sold him, they had done all of these things against him. And yet we find that immediately as he reveals himself unto his brethren, we find that he enlists them into the service, the service for him. And of course, Joseph had shown grace to his brethren. And it is only fitting, therefore, because of his grace, that they ought to obey his command. And of course, we can put that into our own lives, because God has shown grace unto every one of us who are saved this morning. And because of the grace of God, and we've been brought into the family of the Lord, then it is only fitting that we, as God's children, as God's servants, obey him. Now, I want you to think about this, because here we find Joseph saying to these brothers, "Haste ye and go to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph." Now, I want you to notice here, do you remember whenever the initial dream, away back in chapter 37, whenever the initial dream was given about the sheaves in verse number 7 and verse number 8, "Behold, we were binding in the sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And my friend, they had a spirit of rebellion. They were not going to obey Joseph. How dare you think that you're going to tell us what to do? But my friend, you notice the reaction here in the 45th chapter of God's precious word, how that it completely changes. Because you'll notice whenever he gave them this commission, there was not a word of protest. They did not rebel, not for one second did they rebel. They were willing to do obeisance unto and bow down before Joseph, and they were willing to obey his command. So I want you to notice something at the very beginning. after forgiving grace, there needs to come faithful service. After forgiving grace, there needs to come faithful service. Now, these brethren, they recognized immediately their responsibility to Joseph and their obligation to Joseph. I mean, you know, I was thinking about that. And my friend, if these brothers were obliged to serve Joseph, how much more are you and I, the objects of God's grace? How much more ought we to serve the Lord? The Word of God tells us, because of His amazing grace, because of His merciful revelation to Him, in Romans chapter 12, 1, I beseech you by the mercies of God that ye present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And my friend, I want you to notice, here we find that whenever Joseph's brothers received this commission from Joseph, instead of rebelling now, thank God, grace has been wrought in their hearts. There has been a wonderful change in their life has been wrought. And praise God, they have no objection. There is faithful service. No excuses are offered to Joseph. They didn't say, well, you know, Joseph, I don't think we should go home now at this time. No, my friend, there was no excuses, because it was an absolute change of attitude. And friend, that's what needs to happen among the people of God. I believe one of the biggest problems that many of God's children are fighting against is an attitude problem. They have a tremendous chip on their shoulder, and they're carrying around a chip on their shoulder, maybe against a brother, maybe against a sister, maybe against the minister, maybe against the elders, maybe against the committee, and maybe against their family or something else. And you're carrying a chip on your shoulders, and you have a problem, a big problem. And if you want to serve the Lord faithfully, friend, you have got to deal and let God deal with that problem. Because if you are a recipient of forgiving grace, then you ought to give faithful service. And that is to all the family of God and all the people of God. So the Bible says, it says, haste you. They had to be diligent in obedience here. There was an urgency here. And we find, he says, haste you, they were to be fervent in their spirit. Now, in Romans chapter 12, where it says that you're to offer your bodies and put your body as a living sacrifice on the altar for God, and we're not to be conformed to this world, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And in verse number 11 of chapter 12 of Romans, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Is that you, friend? Are you really fervent in spirit? Do you want to really do something for God? Are you willing to do something more for the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you a ready person that is fervent in spirit? You're not slothful in your business, but you are ready to serve the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And that is the giving of yourself as well, and the giving of your talents as well, as God loves you to give of your tithes unto the Lord. Many of God's children, and my friend, they're saved, but they're not serving the Lord. They're not really in the business of serving Christ. And my friend, what a tragedy. And there's an urgency here. And in verse number 9 of chapter 45, it says, haste ye. That was his command. He says, haste ye and go to my father. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is not only his command, but his counsel. Because, you see, it's one thing to be said, go ye, but what are we going to go for? Or say ye, but what are we going to say? And, my friend, I want you to notice here, they didn't go without a message, or they did not go with their own message. Because notice what he says in verse 9, thus shall ye say unto my father. He said, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt, come down unto me, tarry not. And so that reminds me that these brethren are sent with a message from Joseph. Now, when God sends you and me into all the world, friend, to be servants, and God sends you into your family or your district to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, what's your message? You're not to present yourself and say, you know, well, I'm saved, and you know, what a wonderful person I am. And I want you to look up to me, and I want you to just serve me and just get your eyes upon me. No, my friend, it was not their message. It was a message from Joseph. It says, you go to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph. And whenever you and I are commissioned to go in the Lord's name, my friend, we are commissioned to go, and the message is the message of Christ. In the book of Mark's gospel, in the chapter number 16, the final chapter, and the commission that was given to the disciples, in the verse number 15 it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what you're to do. You're not to present yourself. You're not to get people's eyes upon you. But in your going, you are to bring the message from the Lord. It's Christ that you're to speak of. Now, what do you notice something here? Because there's something about this message. Because the message that these brethren were to proclaim was a message about a person. It was about a person. Thus saith thy son Joseph. And what were they to tell him? They were to tell him, if you look at verse number 26, it says, and they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. Talk about a living person. He is yet alive. Look at verse number 9. God has sent me, Lord, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. Verse number 13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father thither. And so we find here, verse number 26. Joseph is yet alive. He's governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Their message was a message about a person. And thank God it was a message of good news. Here was a broken-hearted father. Here was a man that was waiting for this period of time, waiting to see if his brethren would, or his sons would come home from the land of Egypt. And my, never did he realize that he was going to hear such news. Joseph, thy son, is yet alive. And he's Lord, he's governor in Egypt. What a message of a living Joseph. My friend, when you and I are commissioned to go into all the world, what are we to preach? We're to preach the gospel, and the gospel is good news. Good news. And the message we're to preach is that Jesus is alive. Thank God he's alive. We have a living Savior to present. Praise God, we're not asking people to gather around a tomb and the door sealed, and my, we just gather around a dead Christ. But thank God we gather around an empty tomb. And the message is different. Christ is yet alive. You know, humanly speaking, looking at Calvary, it was the greatest tragedy. But thank God when we look at it from the eyes of the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the grace of God, it was the greatest triumph. What a triumph of Calvary's cross. Because, praise God, there's a living, and tell him also about the glory that I have in Egypt. Thank God we have a living and a glorified, a Lord. He's Lord in Egypt. Thank God we can shout it today. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. If he had been dead and defeated, then, my friend, we might as well shut this door. But praise God, we have a great message. It's a message of good news. And God is sending you and me forth into this world this week. I want to tell you, every child of God, you are to go forward this week. And you are to tell men and women, those that you meet, you have to present the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is alive. It was a message about a person. But notice, my friend, it had a plea. It had a plea. This message was not only about a person, but it had a plea. Look at verse number 9 again. Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. come down unto me. Tarry not. And here was a plea. Come down unto me. Here was an invitation. In this message that was to be delivered, in accepting Joseph's invitation, thank God the problems of Jacob's life would be solved. You see, there were two problems. There was grief and there was grain. And those were the two problems, because Jacob's heart was broken as he thought about the death of a son. And now Benjamin's away and his heart is filled with grief. And both would have taken him down to the grave. But thank God the message that Joseph sent was a message that brought the answer. That brought the answer. Look at verse number 11. He says, come down unto me and I will nourish thee. I will nourish thee. I'll nourish thee. Thank God. What a message we have to proclaim. That God will look after his people. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I believe there are people today in this house of God, and there are those who are heavy laden. There are burdens that are pressing down, perhaps that nobody else knows. I don't know what your burden is this morning, but I'll tell you this. There's one who says, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. And if you're hungry, praise God. He says, I am the bread of life. And if you're thirsty, he says, come to me, for I'm the water of life. And thank God, he said, the invitation. You see, it was come unto me. Let me tell you, dear unsaved person in this meeting this morning, I'm sent in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've got a message of good news, a living Savior. A Savior who's mighty to save. A Savior who can not only save your soul, my friend, and change your destiny, but praise God, he can change your life. He can change your life. He can change your home. You can be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And here is the message about the person. It's a person of Christ. Church can't change you. The church can't save you. Baptism cannot save you. Confirmation cannot change you. But praise God, Jesus can. And thank God he's a living Savior. And thank God he's a glorified Christ. Hallelujah. He's in glory today. He's seated at the Father's right hand, a Prince and a Savior. Thank God he conquered hell, death, and the grave. And up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over the foe, his foes. Hallelujah. He arose. And you can have fellowship with him. You can have fellowship. And that was the message. He says, listen, come on to me. Come on to me. Come on to me. Says Joseph, tell my father, come on to me, and I'll nourish thee. I'll do away with all your poverty, because there's still 5 years of famine. And thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Verse number 11. He says, but you don't need to do that. You don't need to come. Let me tell you, dear sinner, you don't need to go to hell. You don't need to die in your sin. You don't need to perish. You don't need to stand before God and be condemned to the lowest hell. But thank God there's a mighty Savior. He is Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody invites you. He said, come on to me. Bring your burden of sin. And I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace within. Something the world cannot give you. But notice, friend, not only was a person, not only was there a plea, there was a promptness. Because look at verse number 9. It says this. Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me. Tarry not. Don't wait. Don't delay. Tarry not. Come down. Come down now. Come down now. You see, the first message was that haste. Haste you. I want you to run. I want you to run. There's an urgency with a message. But friend, there's an urgency in the response. He said in the response, tarry not. You see, Jacob would gain nothing by delay. But he was in great danger of losing much if he didn't come. Note what the Lord Jesus said. Notice his precious words is, come now and let us reason together. Come now. Oh, friend, don't delay this morning. Come now and reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. You say, I'm too evil, I'm too bad, I'm too sinful. I need to clean up my life. Let me tell you, my friend, all you'll do is make your life more rotten. But thank God Jesus can change you. He can make you new. He made something beautiful out of my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, I beg you in God's name. I beg you in God's name, don't delay today. Don't delay in coming to Christ this morning. You say, well, I'll wait to this evening service. Let me tell you, my friend, this evening service you may never see. God doesn't promise you this evening service. God's time is now. Come now. Behold, now is the accepted. There's a promptness. What peril, what folly. There wasn't delay. And then notice thirdly, not only his command and not only his comfort, notice his comfort. Look at verse 14 and 15. It says, and he fell upon his brother's neck, Benjamin's neck, and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Notice, my friend, he's sending his brothers away. But there's one thing he's got to do. Before he sends his brothers away, I can see him reach out his arms. And he puts them round beloved Benjamin, his own brother. The same mother, same father, Joseph Benjamin. And he puts his arms around him and he falls on his brother's neck. And he wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. They wept together. But notice the thing, interesting thing is this. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren. It says he wept on Benjamin's neck. But says he kissed his brethren. Now notice it said he kissed all. That means he kissed Benjamin too. It was a sign of reconciliation. And so therefore, before he sends his brethren away, he's got to assure them that this reconciliation with him is real. He really loves them. And so therefore, he kissed. And the interesting little thought is this. Notice what it says in verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. Mark this. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Didn't say his brethren talked with him before it. Do you know why? Because they were afraid. They were still stunned. They were still afraid. But it says after that, whenever they were reconciled, whenever they were brought together, as brothers, and they were fully reconciled, it was after that they could talk together. Sad thing is this, friend. There's things that are stopping God's people from talking the one with the other. And there's people of God and they don't talk to each other. That never break bread with each other. And I'll tell you, here's the secret. It was after they were reconciled. There was a reconciliation. And thank God when they're reconciled, then they could talk together. And friend, I'll tell you this. The Word of God tells me that I can talk to my Heavenly Father and ask Him to forgive me if I don't forgive my brother. There's a barrier between me and God, and I can call whatever I like. But there's a problem between me and God until I'm reconciled first to my brother. And it says, after that, they talked to him. Is there a barrier? You know, what I see in this passage of God's word is, you know, that Joseph, this part of Joseph's story is something that's filled with joy. There's joy in this part of the story. Joseph is rejoicing. He's reconciled. His brothers are talking to him. And he's talking to them. Not as governor, but as brethren. And I'm not talking to you this morning if you're saved. I'm not talking to you just simply as minister. We be brethren. Why can't we talk together? We be brethren. We be sisters. And if you have aught against a brother, you've got to put it right. And Joseph's rejoicing. The brothers have repented and praise God. They are now rejoicing. They put their arms around him as he put his arms around them. His father Jacob will soon be rejoicing when he hears the news. And Joseph is yet alive. The amazing thing is this. Look at verse 16. Somebody else rejoicing. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants, even the ungodly. The ungodly Pharaoh and his house. They know there's something happened. And they're pleased well. They too are happy. And the interesting thing is this, my friend. Here is a people that's happy, even though they're in the midst of the worst famine. I want to tell you this. There's things money can't buy. And your family can be happy, friend, even having things. I've seen a lot of families, let me tell you, and they have a lot of things. But there's one thing missing in their home, and that's happiness. Happiness between a husband and a wife. Happiness between parents and children. Happiness between brother and brother and brother and sister. Well, they've got things. But there wasn't happiness. But why were they all happy? Because God had done a great work in reuniting the family in Egypt. And friend, that's a great work when the family of God are united. And so we find that Pharaoh, because of this, look at verse 17. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto your brethren, this do ye, lead your beasts, go, get into the land of Canaan, take your father and your household, and come unto me, and I'll give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, do it. There's blessing here. There's real blessing. Look at verse number 19. Thou art commanded, this do. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Whenever the family got united, blessing followed. Let me tell you, my friend, God desires to bless his people. The sad thing is so often God's people are the barrier to the blessing. They can be a barrier to the blessing in the house of God. They can be a barrier in the blessing in their own lives. But to get the blessing, we must walk in obedience to God's revealed will. God cannot bless our disobedience or our disregard from God's word, for God's word. Because if God was to do it, that would not be loving. It wouldn't be right. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, it says, and scourgeth every son whom he receives. Now God's gracious to us. Our brother read the scriptures this morning in Proverbs chapter 3. And it tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. And that's what Joseph's doing, friend. He's directing the paths of his brethren because they have been obedient. Verse 21, it says, and the children of Israel did so. Here's obedience again. Here's these brothers, my, whenever Pharaoh told them to get the wagons and to go for their father and my to do all of this. It says, and they did so. Look at verse 24. So he sent his brethren away and they departed. Here's obedience. You know, the wonderful thing is this. Whenever Joseph gave them the command to go, he also gave them an abundant provision to do and to make it possible. And God, when he tells me to obey his word, friend, God will give us the tools. He'll not tell us something that we're not capable to do with his grace. Oh yes, we might be incapable of doing it, but with the grace of God, we're not incapable. George Mueller said this, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's provision. And before he sent them away, look at verse 22. It says, and to all of them he gave each man changes of raiments. Change of raiment. And it says this, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Now that was a sign of favoritism because he was his blood brother. But notice something. Whenever Jacob gave the special coat of color, many colors to Joseph, his brothers hated him. But notice, whenever Joseph gave to Benjamin the pieces of silver and the 5 changes of raiment, and they got 1, there's not an inkling of jealousy. Not an inkling of envy. Why? Because they were really changed. And what we find is this, before he sent them away, verse 23, and to his father he sent off this man 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away and they departed. Listen, he gave them all the provision they needed for the journey there and back. He gave them all they needed. My God shall supply. Now, as a wee thought here, I want you to notice something. It's an interesting thing. Because let me tell you, Joseph knew his brothers. And look at verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And here's his last wee bit of advice. Now, mark this. The Holy Ghost hasn't put this in for none. He says, see that ye fall not out. By the way, don't fall out on the way. Friend, let me tell you, isn't it a good thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing when the family gets right with each other? Isn't it lovely? Is the family fractured today? And I'm challenging. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Is the family fractured today? I'm not only talking about your family. I am talking about your family. But I'm also talking about the family of God. Is the family of God fractured today? And friend, just as whenever the family got united, Pharaoh's house was looking on. Saw it. And we're glad. But he realizes, he says, here's the last words of counsel. See that ye fall not out by the way. And the word means there to be moved or disturbed with any violent emotion, particularly with anger. In other words, he wanted them to avoid quarreling, fighting with each other. He wanted them to avoid recrimination. In other words, blaming each other, reproaching each other. Notice he said to them, I don't want you to look back. I want you to go forward. And friends, some of the hardest things, the old devil wants us to look back. And Jacob or Joseph knew the nature of his brothers. Do you remember whenever Reuben, they tried to apportion blame and allocate blame. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't fall out by the way. And I've got to say something. To the credit of his brothers, they obeyed him. They obeyed him. They never fell out by the way. But the prompt obedience, and time's away this morning. It says, verse 25, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. My, what a meeting. Would you not have been loved to have been there that day? I see old Jacob looking down the path, the dusty path. He's been waiting, longing for his sons to come home. He wanted to be sure that Benjamin wasn't hurt. And the brothers would return. He waited and waited, and then one day, down that dusty path came his brethren, his sons, Simeon. He was out of the pit, out of the prison. Benjamin and all the brethren were there. And with this I close this morning. Notice their prompt obedience. Look at verse 26. They came on to Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. What was the message they were to carry? Thus saith thy son Joseph. Tell my father of me. Tell him of me. And I'm yet alive. And the minute they got home, friend, it says, they said unto him, Joseph is yet alive. And he's governor over all the land of Egypt. And then verse 27. And they told them all the words of Joseph. My friend, let me tell you, that wasn't easy. Because all the words of Joseph was this. You tell my father what happened to me. And that involved them. They had to own up to how Joseph got to Egypt. But thank God they wanted to tell them of the glory of Joseph in Egypt. And praise God, they didn't change one iota of the message. They told them all the words of Joseph. My friend, you're going out into the world this week. And I want you to take the message of Jesus. There's people dying all around you. And they're going to hell. Tell them of Jesus. The mighty. To see you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning. We thank Thee that we have a great message to deliver. We thank Thee we have great news to tell the people around us. Jesus is alive today. You ask me how I know He lives. Praise God, He lives within my heart. How do you know Joseph's alive? Father, we met him. We looked into his eyes. We talked to him. We listened to his words. Thank you, Lord, that we're saved because you met us down the road of life and you revealed the glory of Christ to us. And you talked to us. By the way, and you've told us to go into all the world and take the gospel. Bless your word for Jesus' sake and for his glory.